Question number one. What do you fear the most? The loss of health, loved ones, all your possessions, your faith, freedom, or your life? This is a personal question. It's up to the individual. It is designed for you to contemplate and reflect upon your present life. For some of you, as new parents, you now have a new consideration. Before you have your first child, you never had that feeling of parenthood, but now that you have, and you may have a different kind of fear in your life. You know that the only way that you and your children can remain together as a family for eternity is that all are in the blood of Christ. And therefore, as a parent, question number two will be very applicable, isn't it? And so therefore, question number one, I do not need to answer too much. It's up to the individual what you fear the most in life. When the children were very young, as young parents for myself, it would be the loss of my children's life before they come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. Now that by the goodness and mercies of God, they are children of God, and therefore I know that we will be together for eternity. It's our grandchildren. Their salvation is now my primary concern because I love them very much, just as I love my children. And so this question, number one, it will change and vary according to your life and your relationship with God. How can you overcome such a fear? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and trust Him. That is the solution. Because once you love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you realize that you already have everything. And you will want to live a life of holiness and trust Him to have absolute control over everyone in your life and everything in your life. Number two, will you promise the Lord that you will make whatever sacrifice to ensure the salvation of your family members? Young parents, how much do you love that bundle of joy? How much? Grown-up parents with grown-up children, are all your children in Christ? As you age, you know your time spent with them is diminishing. And if you are going to leave this world knowing that they are still outside God's kingdom, you know very soon you're going to say goodbye to them, not see you, my son or my daughter. So how much are you prepared to sacrifice and beg the Lord for mercy, that you are prepared to do whatever it takes, O Lord? Please, let me share the gospel with my son and with my daughter with a heart of love and prepare their heart to receive Christ as Lord and as Savior. Are you prepared to sacrifice anything and everything or not? Or you still have your bucket list of things that you must do regardless? Well, it's your life. It's your decision, your walk with the Lord. Each and every one of us have to make our own decision and answer to the Lord one day, and we have to live with it for eternity. So decide well. There are many people who depend upon how you behave and how you live for Christ. Will you do the same for your colleagues and friends, including your enemy? We have to. Everyone that God sent into our life, we have one simple mission. We are representing Christ. Did Christ treat Judas Iscariot differently? No. That's why none of the disciples saw and identify Judas Iscariot when Jesus Christ said, "One of you will betray me." Their answer was, "Is it I? Is it I?" They were very reflective. If Jesus had treated Judas differently, when he sent them out two by two, all of them in the name of Jesus Christ had the power to heal and to cast out demons. Can you imagine if Judas Iscariot did not have that kind of power? Then he would have a very legitimate reason to betray Christ. And then he will argue in front of God the Father and say, "Well, Jesus treated me differently, a second-class disciple among the 12. I invoked the name of Christ and nothing happened. And that's why, because of this second-class treatment, don't I have the right to betray him for 30 pieces of silver? Jesus Christ treated him exactly the same as he treated all the 12. There was no different other treatment. He was not showing any favoritism at all. And likewise, we must, because we must never have a desire to see anyone, even our worst enemy, be cast into hell. And therefore, you have to always have a love for Christ and the people that God sent into your life. The question is your enemy, not God's enemy. God's enemy is you hate them with perfect hatred, according to Psalm 139. Because these are the enemies that will attack Christ, preach the false gospel, and make sinners think they're going to heaven when in fact they are going to hell. These are the ones that the Bible made it very clear. Let them be anathema. But for these, your enemies, you turn the other cheek, you pray for them who despitefully use you, you love them so that they will see Christ in you. Number three, how real and important is the fear of God in your life before? Didn't exist. During salvation, it's the beginning, the first step. After salvation, it must remain to help me maintain my life of holiness. And that's why the fear of God is critical. Before salvation, non-existent. During salvation, the beginning. After salvation, the help to hold on to my holy testimony for Christ. Thank you very much.